Good morning. I want to extend a hearty welcome to each one that has come out this morning to take part in this resurrection service. And we would probably identify better with it. We usually call it Easter service. And to each one that should be listening in whatever way, it is my prayer that you also may be blessed, enriched, and encouraged as you listen, as you take part in this, in the service this morning. I also want to greet you with the words which we find in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3-5, where we read, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this country and the many freedoms that we have. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather in your house of worship again and be reminded of what you have done for us. That 2 days ago, Friday, you were crucified, and this morning we are reminded that you rose, you conquered death, you defeated Satan. Father, we pray that as we continue our journey here in this life, that we would never, never forget that, and that we would be a light to each one that we meet, that we wouldn't be afraid, be scared, go hiding, but that we would be bold. And we know when we look into your word and we see Peter, he was very bold, and yet so many times he fell short. And that is also how we are. We're born of a sin nature, and when we depend on our flesh, we fail. But when we walk in your strength, as he also did when Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water, how you carried him, and that is how you also want to carry us. Father, this morning we pray for those that would love to be here but can't for whatever reason. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them, be with them, fill that void. Should there be a void, that you would fill it. Father, should there be someone out there that's doubting, pray that you would give them that inner peace in knowing that you have paid the price. And if they would only surrender themselves to you, they too could have that peace. Father, I pray for those that haven't accepted you yet or don't know you, pray that you would in some way open it up to them, that they would see the light before it is too late. And Lord, this morning I also pray for each one that has come out. Pray that we might have come with a heart that is prepared to receive your word. Lord, at this time I pray for the song leaders and for the pianists, give them strength. Lord, I pray for myself, that as you give me the words to speak, that I would speak them boldly. We pray this all in your precious name of thanksgiving. Amen. Have a few songs at this time, please.
Let's take our red hymnals and turn to page 112, He Lives.
He lives, he lives, death cannot keep his prey. He lives, he lives, so what a glorious day. He lives, he lives, all honor to the Son, for Christ our 'Twas on the cross they nailed him, his soul in anguish cried. For other sins he suffered, for fools once crucified. The dews of death clung round him, the thorns of hate and shame. It finished it, oh praise his name. He lives, he lives, death cannot keep his prey. He lives, he lives, oh what a glorious day. He lives, he lives, all honor to the Son. For Christ our Savior leads us on. Then Joseph took his part.
There's a fountain filled with blood.
Lose all their guilty stains.
Thank you for those songs. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and that flow is still flowing for us. Thank you, Jesus. I title this morning's message, Hallelujah, He is Alive. How many of us are still thankful that Christ is still alive? He conquered death. And He reigns. It gives me joy to go on. It gives me joy to come here and to share His word with you. I want to start in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. First of all, verses 5, 6, and 7. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you to Galilee. There shall ye see Him. Lo, I have told you. As I was looking at these verses, and we look at verse number 5, where God has sent an angel. There were people, the women came, and they looked for Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there. And God made a way for them to know. They had been told, and yet they did not understand. And so God had an angel there to tell them so they wouldn't get discouraged. And that is the way God takes care of His children. And the angel says, fear not. And we do not have to fear going through this world. It doesn't matter what hardships we face, or if we get persecuted or whatever it is, we do not have to fear, because God knows exactly what we're going through. It says, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Is that also our aim? Is that our seal in life? Are we seeking Jesus? Will Jesus have His angels there to minister to us when things don't fall into place the way we think they should? Because I think Mary and the rest of the women that went with her went to the tomb to do what they had planned to do, and that was to embalm the body of Jesus. And yet He was not there. But God had something in place to tell them, to let them know why Jesus wasn't there. In verse 6, the angel tells Mary, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. And the angels invite them in. Come in, see for yourself. We have the Word of God with us. Is there anyone here today that has a question about God's Word, something you don't understand? Jesus invites us. He says, take my book. Study it. Read it. If you can't find it, go ask somebody. There will be no excuse on the last and final day when God takes our breath away. The angel gives him an invitation. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Very, very plain. Anybody can understand that. And that is who God is. His invitation is open to each and every one of us. His invitation is open to each one that is born into this world. That we can know. And we know that young children will not be able to comprehend. But when we become of the age where we can understand, and we don't all understand at the same level, but when that time comes, it is so easy. He has made it so easy for us because he does not want the death of a sinner. And then after he had invited them in, they saw for themselves, and then the angels commissioned them to further the kingdom. Where he tells them, and go quickly. How often do we think that we have time? I'm going to do this in my own time. Yet the angels tell Mary and the other ladies that are with him there, they say, go quickly. Time is short. This was prophesied many, many years ago already. The time is at hand. And yes, a couple of thousand years have passed on since then. But how many people have gone on before us already? Their time was at hand. Sometimes at a very young age. Some get to be older. But life is as a vapor. And we know a vapor, when we look at it, it is here and then it is gone. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you to Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Who in this room has not heard of the saving grace of Jesus Christ? If you have not, I thank you for coming today. And that is what our mission also is, to go out, not waste time. Just spend time for ourselves, and that doesn't mean that we can't spend time for ourselves. But there are many times when God puts people in our way and we need to take time for them because they need to know, they need to hear. Sometimes we're discouraged. Someone needs to be lifted up and we plan on going our way and then something happens and we get frustrated and then later we find out why. Should we have gone when we thought time was right? We would have missed an opportunity to spread the good news of God or to encourage someone. We need to be in his time. Christ came exactly at the right time. He was born at the right time. He died exactly at the right time. And he arose on the third day as it was prophesied he would rise. He wants us not to fear. He wants us to go forward. And we have younger people with us here today. I'm not just speaking to the older people here. God has a plan for all the young people too. I want to thank you for coming today. God has a plan for you. We don't always understand life. And sometimes when you're young, there are times when you really don't understand life. You don't understand why your parents give you guidelines, why they hold you back, why they don't allow you to do things that so many other people do. And yet they've gone through life, they have experience, they just want the best for you, just like God wants the best for us. And that is why he's given us a roadmap, and he wants us to follow it. So my question for you this morning here is, what is the reason that you came to this morning's service? If you would ask yourself and be honest to yourself, what is truly the reason you came to this morning's worship service? Is it a custom that you have to do twice a year, maybe Easter, maybe Pentecost and Christmas? Or is this because you love the Lord? And wanted to be reminded of what Christ has done for us, for you. And to learn more. And as I mentioned already, we need to study. We need to know what God's will for us, that we can go out and serve him. We want to, at this time, take the opportunity to go on bended knee. And it is my prayer that we would pour out our heart to God. If we have troubles, if there are things that are bothering us in our life, I think today would be as good a day as any to just give it all over to him. Not fear. If there should be things in our life that we need to confess to other people, let's do that. Let's make it right. Christ paid the ultimate price, as we were reminded of on Good Friday, and what it cost him to free us. And so many times we want to hang on to the baggage that we have, because other people aren't supposed to find out that we're sinners, that we've fallen short. And that is what Christ freed us from. So for those of you who are able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take the blue hymn book and turn to page 378. Take the name of Jesus with you. 378, for those that are able, let's stand.
Take it, then wherever you go, rest. sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
If we have prayed in the name of Jesus, we can be assured of he will have heard our prayers. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. It gives us instruction on how we can know what God is requiring of us. And it says, "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." As I said before, the Lord wants us to be able to understand. And when I look at this verse, how much clearer can it get? We need to ask, seek, and knock. And then in verse 8, it says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." That's a promise. "And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Very, very precious and very, very clear. And then I want to go to verse 21 in that chapter. It also tells us that not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Pretense won't get us there. And that's why I asked the question before. What was your purpose for coming this morning? Was it just to make you feel good? To be seen? Or we do this maybe 2-3 times a year and say that'll be good? Because it tells us here very, very clearly. This is an earnest warning. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." And then in 22 it says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" So here he goes on and he expounds on it and he says, there are many people that are out there and they're doing this stuff for the wrong reason. Why are we doing what we're doing? And then in verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Sincerity. We need to be sincere. Our motives need to be right. Pretense will not get us into heaven. I want to turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 1 to 11. And here we have the, and one out of one of the Gospels, the account of Jesus and the first day of the week. In chapter 16, verse 1, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." Again, when I was reading these verses and how it said something and it repeats it and it repeats it again. It is so there will be no excuse. We will know. We have, it has been clearly spelled out. Now, I'm going to reread verse 2. And very early in the morning, and the first day of the week, no mistaking there, right? It's first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising, it just goes on, at the rising of the sun. Very early in the morning, at the rising of the sun. I find it interesting how the scripture, we know that the scripture's written, they were by men who were inspired by God. And when we read the different gospels, they're written in different ways. And when we go look at each of those gospels, we get a clearer understanding of what really happened. We get a clearer understanding of how life is today. That even though sometimes we cannot understand, maybe you can't understand me, but then maybe when Brother Art or Abe or Walter come up here and they explain it in a different way or have a different words, it all of a sudden becomes clear. And I do believe that is why the scripture is written the way it is written, for us to be able to understand. Even if I can't understand somebody, one person, and I listen to the message, the same message, when somebody else speaks on it, and how it just, I never knew that. Just made it so clear. And so we need to study the whole scripture. And then in verse 3 it says, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? In my mind, I was wondering, had they even thought of that stone when they left home? That the tomb would be closed off? I doubt it. I think it only dawned on them later. All right. There's a stone in front of the tomb. And that tells me they must have been there and they saw it happen. They were interested in what was going on. When we read of Mary Magdalene and how Jesus, he drove the seven devils out of her and how she followed him, how she attended to him in his walk, took care of him. And here she is. When he is put to death, she's there. She was there when she must have been there when they put Jesus' body in the tomb. And now she wants to do the last part, the last thing that she thinks in her mind that she can do for Jesus yet, and that is to go and embalm his body. And then when she gets, they come closer, and then this thought comes to their mind: who's going to roll the stone away? And then in verse 4 it says, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. How many times does that happen to us? When there's a road before us and it seems so dark, we don't know how we'll be able to get over that big hill. And yet when we get to the hill, God moves it. He did that when he lived on this world. He did that for the people after he left, as we've read about today already. And he continues to do that for us today. So many times a big mountain just dissolves. And then we wonder, why did we ever even worry about it? God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to live at peace and be free. And that doesn't mean that we can't think on things and that we shouldn't think on things, but not worry about it. We need to trust. We need to go forward in faith. And then in verse 5 it says, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. How often do we go about in life not sharing the word of God because of fear of people? God doesn't want us to have fear of people. And we won't have fear of people when we trust in him, when we give it all over to him. If I was supposed to be here in front of you speaking to you on my own, I wouldn't be here. I also have fear of people. But I need to give that over to God. And he takes that fear away. And I've experienced that so many times already. When I step behind the pulpit, oh, that fear just flees. It's a choice. Is that how we want God to be with us? Or do we want to go on our own? And I'm not sharing any of this that has to do with me to brag. But that God is good. He loves us. He cares for us. And he wants us to live in peace. He doesn't want us to go forward in fear. In verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they were trembled and amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. In verse 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. I sometimes wonder at how he first appeared to Mary Magdalene. He had his disciples. He had Peter with him so many times. And he also said that, Peter, on your rock will I build my church. And yet here he's speaking to Mary Magdalene, the one whom he had saved from Satan. He had cast out seven demons. Mary appreciated it. She didn't take it for granted. Peter was a man of impulse, and too many times I'm a man of impulse, and I speak before I think. And it gets me in trouble. Or I say things I shouldn't say. When we are focused on Jesus Christ, when our life is where God wants us to be, it is then that he will be there with us. If he can't trust us, that we will go and do what he wants us to do, why would he give us more to do if we haven't even done what he wants us to do? I believe that is a big factor here. Mary Magdalene, she was saved. She knew what a life of living for the devil was, and how God had freed her, how Jesus had freed her. And she wanted to serve him wholeheartedly. And here she is. Jesus comes to her. In verse 10, it says, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Had Jesus not told his disciples that he would die, he would be crucified, on the third day he would rise again? And yet the disciples had not understood that, because now they thought their Savior, the one that had come, they had walked with for 3 years, he was gone now. It hadn't registered. Sometimes we also read and it doesn't register. And so we need to stick to it. Stay with it. continue to read again and again. And in verse 11 it says, "And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her," it says, "believed not." How often are we in the disciples' shoes? People come, or maybe it's preached across the pulpit, or we hear, and yet we're not ready. We're not ready. Sometimes I and myself get in the way, and we don't understand. I'm not sure what, it doesn't tell us, explain what happened there, but it tells us that they believed not. Having walked with Jesus for 3 years, having been told that this is what is going to happen. And now when these women come to them and tell them, "We saw Jesus, he's alive," they didn't believe him. When we go to I've got some scripture verses written down here with no chapter applied to that. If we continue in Mark, this is Matthew. Sorry, I want to go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Or Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In verse 2. The same account that we just read of, but in different words. And there we read, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." So before we read that they came to the tomb, they were wondering who would roll the stone away. And here it is recorded on how that stone was moved. There was a great earthquake. God opened up the way. And then in verse 3, it says, "His countenance," speaking of the angels sitting inside, "his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow." God goes into details. He wants us to understand. Even though sometimes we still have questions, but there's enough recorded that we can understand, that we can know. We can find our way to Christ. And then in verse 4 it says, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." The people, Caesar had said to set a watch. They seal the stone. Keep it as sure as you can. And there were people watching there that the disciples wouldn't come and steal the body. And yet, this all needed to go into fulfillment. And whatever God has promised will come into fulfillment. And so these men that were outside, they fell down and became as dead men. And then in verse 5 it says, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And then in verse 9, it says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go to Galilee, and there shall they see me. So now these, before those words that were recorded that they should go and tell the disciples to go to Galilee, they weren't words that Jesus spoke himself. Here Jesus, he's on the road, he meets Mary Magdalene, and when he says, all hail, they recognize him, they fall down, and they worship him. And then Jesus also commissions them. They say, I don't want you to stay here. Go and tell the disciples. Give them the good news. In verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed it unto the chief priest, all the things that were done. And we know that when we go in further into that of how they were given money, how they were told that they were supposed to lie about this, that they had fallen asleep, and the disciples had come and stole Jesus away. When we look at the beginning of the crucifixion and how false witnesses came before Jesus and came up with ideas that this is what has happened and this is what Jesus had said, it was all false, and Jesus was quiet. And here, after he rose, they come up with excuses again. We fell asleep, and the disciples came and stole him away, knowing full well that wasn't the truth. And likewise, there are false teachers out there that we need to be so careful of. Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 to 54. It says, when the even was come, there came a rich. 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. When Jesus, the veil in the temple rent, the earthquake came when Jesus died, when he bowed his head, when he gave up the ghost. And yet, here it talks about later, when Jesus arose, how people came out of the graves. They walked around amongst the people in the city. God wanted the people to wake up, to see the darkness in their lives and how they displeased God. He's done so many things. He did so many things for them. He's doing so many things for us. Are we awake? Are we ready to face Jesus should he come? When he takes our last breath away, will we be ready to meet him with joy? Or will we have to come up with excuses? I fell asleep. I didn't know. Because that'll all be in vain. In John chapter 20, I want to turn to John chapter 20. verse 19 to 21. John chapter 20, verse 19 to 21. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. They didn't believe the women. They didn't believe Mary when she came to them and told them that Christ had risen. And now Jesus came to them. The day was almost gone. Jesus comes to them. The doors are locked. And yet Jesus came in. It doesn't matter what our life looks like, how many sins we've committed, how often we've locked our heart. But Jesus will not force us to love him. He came in to the room. The door was locked. If we want Jesus within our heart, we have to invite him in. God loves us so much, he won't force himself into our lives. He opens up so many ways that we can see, that we can know. But he will not force himself into our lives. It is up to us. What choices are we making every day? Why did we come here today? And then in verse 20 here it says, and when they had said so, he shewed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So as if Jesus, they didn't recognize him. He came in, the door was locked, nobody should have been able to come in, and yet, not before Jesus showed him his hands and his side, where they had pierced him, did they believe. But yet Jesus, again, out of his great love, when we go into the next verse, then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. The same peace that Jesus wants us to have. Let's open our heart to him. And then he goes on, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Now Jesus commissions them again. I came, God sent me, I was willing to go. He says, could you please go out, tell the rest of the world? Can we do the same thing? Can we go out, not be afraid of the people because they might laugh at us, not be afraid of our friends in school or at work or wherever we are, but let's go show them the love of Jesus Christ and what he has to offer us. 26 to 29 in that same chapter. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, Lord, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. It is my wish and my prayer that we truly believe, that we trust, that we have faith that Christ came and that he has given his life for us. I have two more verses out of Matthew chapter 20 that I want to share with you this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verse 15 and 16. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. I will take him away. He's speaking to Mary Magdalene. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni. When Jesus speaks to us, when Jesus calls us, do we know his voice? Do we know when it is Satan? And do we know when it is Jesus? Can we decipher? Are we rooted well enough in Jesus Christ that we know when Jesus calls us? And if there should be someone here today that has not invited Jesus into his heart yet, I would invite you to do that. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of the service. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for leaving us a roadmap, and that roadmap is clear. Lord, we know that so many times we are as your disciples were, where our faith was so small and we want to walk our own way as they did. Lord, we pray for strength to be able to endure. We look to you for guidance. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us, that we wouldn't harden our hearts, but that we would turn to you and allow you to lead and guide us. For we know that the day is coming, just like we've seen this last year, where many loved ones have been taken out of our midst and don't know when you will call us, but that we would be ready to face you with a smile, knowing, having the assurance that when you call us, that we will be with you. Father, we pray that there would be no turning back. We pray this all in your precious name with thanksgiving. Amen. I want to one more time give you the opportunity for whatever lies on your heart. Let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take the blue book and turn to number 203, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary.
Thank you for the message, Henry. A few announcements. In the absence of Deacon Pete this morning, he's helping with a communion service at our local care home at Salem. Regarding the handy van services that we're thinking of restarting again, the phone number in your bulletin is not correct. The correct number is 204-362-0313. And if you don't remember that, feel free to call the church office and I'll forward that number to you. Also, something we missed up on in the bulletin regarding our baptism candidates this next coming Sunday. We want to invite those of you that are anticipating baptism to bring in your registration forms with the first witness and meet up with us in the prayer room, and you'll be invited to sit in the front, and your witnesses will be free to sit where they like, but to witness that you have made a commitment to Christ. This last week, we were anticipating Passion Week services. We were able to have services two evenings. The other two were stormed out. But we had Gideon's, or better now known as Share Word Global. They had a table set up in the foyer, and with your donations, 370 scriptures will be placed in Nicaragua. Nicaragua is a country that was never open to scriptures being placed, and they've asked Share Word Global to provide Bibles for every citizen in their country. That's truly, truly remarkable. God is alive, he's well, he's working, and when leaders of a country request that, we as Christians want to come alongside and do our best to help, and thank you for those donations on behalf of Share Word Global. Also next Friday, take note, it's also an insert in your bulletin, there's a Rural Compassion Dessert Night. They work in India, it used to be known as Bible Brethren. It's at 7 o'clock in the church dining room here. Also, a note to something in the bulletin regarding Jake Bickard, or Deacon Jake's mother in Vauxhall, Alberta. She has passed away, and the funeral was this last Thursday. Just a thought that came to mind when Henry started about Resurrection Sunday. You know, I really appreciate that title, because Easter is something the world recognizes and celebrates, and they have their own way. But we as Christians, we recognize Christ's resurrection. And the other day I walked into a business and I saw their holiday hours, and Resurrection Monday closed, you know. It sort of twigged with me, resurrection. We are celebrating Christ's resurrection, and that he is alive and well today.
Thank you for those announcements. As for this morning's worship service, I have nothing more to bring out of God's word, but want to thank you for coming, and may the peace of God truly be with you as you continue your journey here in this world. Is it still okay to say Happy Easter? Okay. I know I feel out of place doing that, because that isn't what it's something man-made, right? But it is a season we're going through, and we're all acquainted with that. So on behalf of my wife and myself, I want to wish you a blessed Easter. For closing, I want to bless you with the words which we find in Galatians chapter 6, verses 14, 16, and 18. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Brethren, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. And you may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember, Jesus is watching.